Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Thursday Night Live. This is Peter, Mr. Money.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Good evening. This is Frankie.
All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about an interesting topic, which is how to talk money with your partner.
Taboo.
Yeah. Topic. So this is one of the most stressful conversations that people can have. As they say, right? One of the top reasons for divorce is?
Money.
So, for most people, they don't really want to approach it unless they are
unless
looking for a divorce. Looking for a divorce.
I didn't see that coming.
No, that's a joke. Yeah, in fact, the reason that you go for it is because that's not being settled. So why do we came up with this topic? I think for one is we realize that generally most of our lives, we talk a lot about technical stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes we talk too big, talk economy, talk inflation, talk stock. Oh,
that's right.
Talk about something more personal.
That's right. So one of our audience actually mentioned to us just now when we went to an open house. He said that to listen to your podcast, I can't listen during work. I need to empty my mind, sit down there, lie down, then listen to your podcast. Only I can understand.
Yeah. You need a bit of brain juice to digest.
Yes, but the AWOK, are we okay? Was something that for him, he can just listen while driving, while he listen during work, because it's more of a story based. So we thought today we'll talk about something that's much more relaxing. We'll see how does it work for all of you guys. If let's say you enjoy this particular episode and you like topics like this, do at the end of this show, send us some feedback. Let us know whether do you enjoy it.
Right.
Nonetheless, we definitely can't go far. We still have to talk a little bit about market updates ultimately. Or at least that's what we think that we should be talking about.
If we talk about that, then we will bring it up lah.
Yes. Now, we definitely are also going to give a little bit update about our thoughts on the account tree for EPF because that's a hot news that just fresh out of oven today.
Correct.
Yeah, and we managed to kind of speak to some people to get a little bit more information and our thoughts about it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should have just put EPF as the title, then more people would listen. But
that's true. Never mind.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah. Let's just start by the first topic of tonight, right? Should we start with talking partner first, or do you think we should start by talking about EPF?
Since somebody just asked about EPF already, I think let's go with this one first, lah.
All right. Yeah. Let's start by talking about EPF. So EPF today announced the full structure on how they're going to implement the EPF account tree.
Account tree, which is also called account flexible.
That's
account flexible. They also have new names for account one and account two, lah, right? Account one is called account persaraan. Account two is called account sejahtera. So in the future, when people use this technical phases, then you all know that it's actually account one and account two.
That's right. So we are talking about account persaraan, and then account sejahtera, and then account flexible. Now, when we are looking at this, what are the difference between these three accounts? The account one is actually for pension. It means that you're not supposed to withdraw until you retire.
Yes.
Okay. This should, based on the new contribution, if you opt in for flexible account, if you opt in, you're looking at 75% being put into this account persaraan, right?
That is from May 11 onwards.
That's right.
Yeah.
May 11 onwards.
May 11 onwards. If when your employer, how to say, deposit money into your EPF account, 75% of the money will go into account persaraan.
That's right. Now, then there's the account two, which is called the account sejahtera. It's for pre-retirement usages, such as if you want to clear off a house loan, you're buying a home.
Education,
that kind of stuff. Medical, emergency, that kind of things. You can access into this account. And the contribution towards this account after the 11th of May will be 15%.
Correct.
Now, that's again, if you choose to opt in. Now, then subsequently, it's going to have this account flexible, which is the new account tree.
Yep.
Right.
The remaining will go into this account.
That's right. So this one is for emergency use, flexible withdrawal at any time.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so it means that you can just withdraw it anytime. Simple as that.
So it's like your current account in your normal bank account like
just
that.
Just a bit more mafan to withdraw near.
Maybe.
Yeah. So how exactly withdraw?
Maybe when the account is live, then we will. Maybe
then
we
we'll only find out later. Now, anyway, some people are also asking this question, right? does it mean that from now on I can just transfer my money into the account flexible for immediate withdrawal?
Mm. Mm.
So this leads us to the thing here. So they say, yes, you can, but only from account Sejahtera.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't transfer from your Pesaran account. Mm. Yeah. And then they will allow this transfer from 12th of May until 31st of August 2024. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a window that you can use to actually transfer the money from your existing account to into this account flexible, so you can choose to withdraw it for any form of usage.
One important point to note here is that you can only do that transfer one time only. So you cannot say that, hey, today I transfer 10,000, tomorrow, hey, I feel like doing it again, I transfer another 10,000. So for the first, for the initial amount, right, because when you start the account tree will be 01. Ma. So if you think that you want to contribute some amount into this account flexible, you can do the one-time transfer from your account Sejahtera. But once you do that one-time transfer, whatever amount that you want to transfer, that's it. You cannot do it anymore.
That's
the
right.
only way for money to come in for your account flexible going forward will be through contribution from your employer and also yourself when you receive your salary.
Yeah. So I think here is a pretty smart move in my opinion. Because what happened is that they still don't allow you to touch your account Pesaran, which is for your retirement.
That's very important.
Yeah, that's very, very important, right? Yeah, what happened is that they are just taking the existing account where you can withdraw money for emergency, but make it even more flexible.
Yeah.
So I think they're also quite smart. They don't want you to go and just simply withdraw. Because, yeah, if you simply withdraw, you're the one that's going to suffer. Nah, 9 out of 10. Yes, some of you may be watching this and say, no, if I invest, I'm going to get better return. Okay, but you have to understand, 9 out of 10 of the people will not be like you. That's number one. Mm. Number two, even if you can, you are not sure whether by that time you really can. Yeah. Yeah, but this one is sure can. Yeah, so as a national building perspective, is a good thing, right? For the community, for the people, right? Now, so the question is this. Many of our audience are also thinking, hey, I don't want to put my money into it. Can or not? Okay, if I don't want to put my money into the account flexible, can or not? Can. You just don't opt in for the transfer first. So you don't go and ask for the transfer into account tree. Just leave it as it is.
Yep.
Right? Leave it as it is. Now, then what happened is that along the way, it will just grow with the new contribution that comes in, if there's any. Yeah.
Correct. I think in terms of withdrawal, there are also some rules on this account flexible one. It's not like you see, oh, I got money inside, then if I want to take out, then I can straight away take out. I think first of all is that the minimum withdrawal amount is 50 ringgit. So if let's say you want to just take out 10 ringgit to go in minum teh tarik, right? It will not work because minimum to take out is 50 ringgit.
Oh, they got mentioned that it's a minimum take out 50. Yeah?
Correct. They did that. So, and also, let's say for example, when your account Sejahtera is less than 1,000, and if you want to do that one-time transfer from your account Sejahtera into your account flexible, right? It will be the entire less than 1,000 amount will go into that. Yeah, simply because you don't have enough, right? So when you opt the transfer, they'll say, okay, then I will allow you to do the full transfer of less than 1,000 into flexible account.
Yeah. Okay, but before that, let's go into the other part, right? We want to mention here is when you transfer the mechanism. The mechanism is interesting here, right? Okay, how much can you transfer? So let's say right now you got your account 2, right? If you have 30K inside, if you choose to transfer, say, 10%, if you choose to transfer the money into your, not 10%, you choose to transfer the money into the flexible account, what will happen is, okay, let's say you transfer 10K into your account flexible, your balance in your Sejahtera account will not be 20K. So imagine your account 2 is got 30K inside. You transfer 10K to flexible account. Then your account 2 is not left with 20K, but left with 15K. Why?
Yeah.
Because the 5K will automatically now go into your account 1.
Oh.
So it's kind of, whenever you transfer your money into a flexible account, they will force you to put your money into account 1. Yeah. Which I think is a very good move. Why? Because if you do that, what happened is that you will choose to withdraw money anytime and then you get access to the full pool some more.
Well, then really got no more money already.
Really got no more money.
Yeah.
But in this case, they are still insisting that you should save for your future.
Yeah. So if you want to be more flexible, okay, can. Then I take a certain portion of the money to help you to save even more.
Mm.
To put it back into Persaraan account.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of like that. That's how it works. Lah.
Mm.
Now, so generally, that's the overall idea of the account tree. I think as we know, generally what happened was that ever since the MCO time when we allowed the EPF withdrawal, people started withdrawing. They keep asking for it. That was what happened. And there have been a lot under a lot of pressure to say that can we withdraw one more? Can we withdraw more? So in my opinion, this whole move is a little bit of to appease the different parties who are asking for it, right? My personal opinion to Malaysian is this, is that if you can don't withdraw, please don't withdraw. Don't withdraw for unnecessary purpose.
Correct.
It's there for a reason because the truth is, it's going to help you to retire.
Mm.
Yeah. Malaysia is going to be way more poorer if the money is not there.
Yes.
Number two, in my opinion, if let's say when you withdraw too much of it, indirectly in future, it will also lead to higher tax burdens for people.
Mm.
There's a possibility lah that could lead towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the good thing is this, because now we have got the account flexible, ma. Let's say you really need the emergency fund, right? Now it becomes easier to access the money. In the past, when you want to do an EPF withdrawal, especially from your account too, right, it takes, if I'm not mistaken, about 1 to 2 weeks to do that. So with this flexible account, I think it will be faster because it is more lenient in terms of withdrawal. So yeah, it will be an easier access to your funds.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure whether it takes 1 or 2 weeks because I haven't withdrawn before until now.
The product is not live yet, but it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah. But like what I mean is that account too, I never withdraw before.
Oh,
have you
withdrawn
before?
Yeah.
1 or 2 weeks?
Yeah, 1 to 2 weeks.
How do you do the withdrawal?
Okay,
go to the...
The reason I do the withdrawal is to pay off my mortgage.
To pay off mortgage.
The first step you need to do is to go to the bank and ask for a letter to prove that your loan account is with the bank. So that will take 1 to 2 weeks.
Right.
Wait. So you take the letter, you go to EPF and say, I want to apply for a withdrawal. Again, 1 to 2 weeks.
Oh.
For the money to come in. Now, the money don't come in to me. It will straight away pay to the bank.
Oh,
so
wow.
You won't see money coming to your bank account, but you will see your loan drop.
Oh.
Yeah, so in total, about 1 month.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, why would you choose to take EPF money to pay your house loan? Isn't the house loan cheaper? The interest rate is lower, therefore EPF interest rate higher. Wouldn't you make more money in that sense?
Okay, so this is a personal thing. So number one, I want my principal amount to go lower so that when I want to do refinancing of the house, I'm able to take out the money easier. So that's how I see it. Yeah.
Right, so it's your own way of turning
own way of,
things into a flexible account.
Correct.
Yeah, but aren't you... this case, you have the option to refinance for whatever purpose.
Correct.
Rather than...
Correct. That is the main reason. There is another smaller reason, but we will keep it offline later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's a Chinaman thing, that one.
It's a Chinaman thing.
It's an emotional Chinaman thing,
yeah,
right?
I don't want to pay so much interest. I pay it off as soon as I can. Yeah, then I can.
But that's a pretty interesting idea, yeah. Mm. Although I wouldn't advise people to do that, yeah, but... It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. Yeah. Anyway, let us change gears and talk about a different topic, right? Which is the topic of talking with your partner about money. Some people ask us, are we going to talk about partner as in like a business partner or relationship partner? Which one are we talking about today?
I think we're talking about relationship partner, right?
Yep, that's right. Because in my opinion, when you're going to talk to a business partner...
Everything transparent.
Yeah, it should be that.
You got the accounts there already.
I mean, you shouldn't. If business partner come together for money, so if you don't talk about money before you become business partner, that is
very hard to work together.
Yeah. That's like, although we know that there are a lot of people like that, but that is the basic, okay?
Yes,
there's also a topic about that. But today we're going to talk about relationship.
Mm.
Now, Frankie.
Hey.
Yeah, for yourself,
yes.
When was the first time you talked to your wife about money or your girlfriend?
Hmm. The obviously, when the relationship gets serious, lah, only we started to talk about money. In the early days of relationship, it's just a lot of fun.
With your ex-girlfriend, right, at the time?
We just have a lot of fun. We just, you know, have fun, right? But it will come to a point that things become serious. Like, okay, I think it's time for us to think about our future. This is when then we will start to say, okay, if we are going to live together forever for the rest of our lives, then how should we go about with our finances, right? How much you have, how much I have, what do you pay, what do I pay? And if you fall into a crisis, how am I coming in to support you? You know, things like that. So those are the topics that were being discussed lah, as and when we go on dating and stuff.
Right, so it wasn't like, okay, let's sit down and talk about money.
No. It's a progressive thing.
For you, how did it start? Like, do you just like, after dating for a while, they like, okay, I think I'm going to marry this girl. They ask her, hey, if I die, how are they?
Something like that.
So huh, really?
Like, no. So it's like, wow, this house very nice. So what if one day we have a house? Then, oh, but house very expensive, you know, we need money. Ah, then start already.
Then how honest do you be in that conversation?
Depends on how serious you are in the relationship.
Right, so it's just a gauging. La. I think, okay, let's talk about a serious money conversation with your
girlfriend
or wife. Yes. When was the first time you had a serious money conversation? Like you tell her how much you make actually.
Okay, because of my upbringing, my family is very transparent about money.
Also, first day you meet her, you tell her
that. No, so...
Hi, I'm Frankie. I earn 6,000 ringgit.
No. So the first time that money topics was brought up in a conversation, I think it was just me, so everything just came out already.
So for you, it was quite easy.
Was very transparent, at least on my side. And my wife's side is a little bit...
More reserved.
Opposite. Yeah. She's more reserved. Her upbringing is also like, okay, this is my private stuff, so... I don't feel comfortable, so I don't share so much. So she came from that kind of background. Right. So for me, I was the one that is more proactive. Like, come, let me show you something. This one is what
my
I have.
My salary slip.
Something like that. Something like
that. Oh, really? So you just went there and then tell her?
Something like that.
Oh.
I was quite transparent with my finances.
Right.
With my spouse.
Right. So you told her like, okay, I got X amount of house, this the amount I have in savings, everything all straight away.
Fun fact, if I remember correctly, it was until months after we got married, only I know how much my wife was earning.
Oh, serious?
Serious.
Right.
Yeah. It took a long time for her to feel comfortable and
tell you how much
and share. Yeah.
So,
if I remember correctly,
do you know how much you have in the bank account today?
Today I know.
Only today you know. How long it took before you know how much you have in the bank account exactly?
So that was the first step to reveal how much she was earning per month, right? So it took a few more months for her to slowly reveal. So it's like slowly peeling like layer over layer over layer. Today, I'm married for 10 years already, so obviously I know everything already. But it took a while to get there.
Right. So how did you went from her telling you her salary to you know how much she have in the bank account?
Sometimes I poke. Like, hey, we need to buy a car. If you don't tell me, right, how am I going to buy the car? Right?
Oh.
I'm not comfortable. Then she'll go like, if you really need a car, you just buy. You don't ask so much. If you need a car, you just buy.
Oh, so you know actually she got the money lah.
Yeah.
That's why she said like that lah.
So in the beginning time, it's like that. So she wouldn't reveal the number, but she will give you the confidence.
Yeah.
Or if she's not confident, she'll tell her, I'm not confident. I don't think you should do it. Let's take a step back. But then I'll be like, okay, then I think you probably have a bit of concern. Let's talk about it another time. So I will also like pull back a little bit. Wait,
oh, okay, you're like
touch.
You're.
But this is
you are
is,
like business
no,
partner,
no, no,
lah.
No, this is this. No, this.
Yeah, I'm not like dating or married.
No,
eh?
This
more
is
like
this is at
talk.
The very very beginning very beginning stage. Right, today there's nothing to hide already, lah.
So
today,
objective. Yeah. So yeah, you went correct. From like, hey, darling.
Hey.
I want to buy a new phone. Yeah. Are you confident? If you don't tell me your bank account, I cannot buy a new phone. So you know, she said confidently, you know, she got 5,000, she got 10,000 at least.
Yeah.
Only she willing to buy. Then after that, later, next step, you ask her, I want to buy a car. Then when she say confident, then you
should
know
have,
she got
should have test water.
So every time you test water, test higher, then you know how much you got, is it?
I want my land. Right. Oh, you cannot. Okay, then I know. Cannot go there.
So again, you don't buy in. You're just asking question. Test water.
Test water, anyway.
She's probably watching this right now.
I think she's probably watching. I think I go home kena. Wait, what did you say so many things? Anyways.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Myself? I think I was quite straightforward. Me being me, I don't really hide many things. I talk about how much I earn. I talk about what are properties I have. But I think the deepest, hardest part was when I met my wife during that period of time. Definitely when we were there, I'm not like some doing like super, super well, right? It's not bad. Mm. It's definitely not bad. But I didn't really like have a lot of savings, right? Because I was, you know, enjoying life, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, having a lot of fun, right? Yeah. Then later when we started, things were still okay. So not so bad. But I told her upfront that things may look very good, but actually, I also spend quite a lot, so I may not be saving that much, right? Then, definitely income increased again, then okay, then she came and joined me for a while in the insurance business, but it did not work out, and she became a full-time housewife, right? But I was struggling with money by then. So, maybe because you were more financially healthy, so it was easier. So, at the time, it was starting to accumulate that. Then getting married, everything all added up the stress. So I think we only had a really, really tough conversation about that time where I start to realize that like, oh no.
You need to talk.
I need to talk. I really need to talk. If I don't talk, I'm going to like swallow everything. I am not sure whether I can I can go through with it.
This is you're married already?
Married already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So before marriage, y'all didn't touch this topic. Lah.
We got talk about money a little bit. Okay. But we laid down very basic principles. Less about the amount, but more about how we view money. Right? Like for example, so pre-married, it was more like, she roughly know how much I earn. Preparing for marriage, definitely you talk a lot about money because you need money
you need prepare for the wedding.
You need to prepare a wedding. That's the first time you get to know each other's finances. Whether you cannot afford, can afford. Right? That kind of thing. So she knew like how much I have to put on credit card, how much I have to do what, you know, that kind of thing, right? So she roughly have an idea. Then when it was tough that time, it was after the marriage lah. But before that, like I say, it was a lot more like, what do you expect out of this relationship in terms of in future? So let's say if I got no money, how? Right? If let's say we have children going for classes, how much would it all cost? Then based on my current income, I may or may not be able to afford it. So these are the kind of questions that keeps going, right? Then if let's say I can't, if let's say we can't, can you help? Would you help? And what do you think of that? Those kind of things.
I
think the true test was when we were preparing for marriage, when we had to start taking out money for the marriage at that time. Then, I mean, it's a little bit far. I can't really remember, but it was conversation about that. Then I think the tough times came when it was like I say, the time just got married, then started the business and failed. That was the toughest. I think for me at the point, the hardest conversation is to go to her and tell her like, it's unmanageable at this point.
So you all made a decision whereby both parents, husband and wife, will have to come out and work again lah. So that is the point she came out lah.
No.
Okay.
After the conversation, it took her about like 3 to 6 months before she can.
Right.
So here's where the first lesson to bring out, right? The first part to bring out about talking about money with your partner is that it doesn't happen over one day, like you say.
Yes.
Yeah.
How to talk about such a big topic in just one day?
That's right.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. It's all take time, right?
Yes.
And when you tell that thing that time, she will need time to accept it. You will need time to be honest. It's a, like, you pull a bit, she push a bit, push pull, and then you come to a point that like, okay, what do we look for here? Okay, this is a solution, but never mind, let's see through it again, you know, that kind. It may be messy, it may be calm, depending on how you handle it at the point, right? Yeah, but generally, I think that's the first thing. Give it space, give it time. Don't expect the person to understand immediately. Yeah, that's the first thing.
Right. I have one interesting question to ask, right? When you're about to get married and then you all start talking about money, did you all actually talk about first thing to do, let's start a joint account, a husband and wife account, bank account?
Oh, yeah.
Did you all talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right. And then how does it work? So every month, husband chip in some money, wife will chip in some money, yeah. Then it become our lovely
So we said that we are going to have a joint account.
Yeah.
And what we are going to do is we are going to chip in according to the portion of our salary.
Oh.
So if I earn 10K, she earn 5K, then...
Then you put 2/3, she put 1/3.
Ah, correct, correct. Ah, okay. That's how it should work.
Okay.
Theoretically, that's what we say. But until today... We
still got la.
We don't still practicing. No, actually, until today, not really. Oh. We didn't really actively put money inside.
I see.
Because I think me being Mr. Money, along the way, the influence became so strong that both of us became heavily invested.
Okay. Okay, so I need money, you need money, everybody go invest.
Correct, correct. So very often I'll invest. Then she'll look at it, then she'll say, hey, actually, you make quite a lot from those investments. I also want to invest. So she also start investing. Okay. Yeah, so that's generally what happens.
Right.
But I make sure she invests.
Okay.
So how me and my wife, along the way, we came to an agreement where I'll take care of the basic necessities of the household, right? Children's school fee, most of the things, right? We got a house, I pay for the house, you know, stuff like that. Then all the miscellaneous, she will handle. But her job is to make sure a larger portion of her salary goes into saving. Yeah, and I shouldn't be bothered because I'm quite high risk. Then what happened is that for my side, eventually, after we saved up our initial emergency fund, then I got very aggressive investing.
But good lah.
Yeah.
It's progressing well lah. So good for you. Yeah. Congratulations.
So
yeah. Now why I bring out the question is because I don't have the experience. I don't have the experience of a joint account. I tried to talk about it before, but my wife convinced me that we shouldn't have a joint account. So we manage our finances separately. But it's an unspoken rule that the person who earns more will take care of the big ticket items, and the person who earns less will take care of the smaller stuff. So It's the why you say 默契. So we don't really need to think about who's going to pay for this, who's going to pay for that. It's like, naturally, it's bill come. Okay, then either my wife or myself will put the money on the table. Yeah, so that's how it works. And the interesting reason of why she insisted that we shouldn't have a joint account is that if, touch wood, if something bad happens to the relationship, it's very easy to split. It's very easy to split. So until today, we don't have a joint account. We don't have any assets in joint name. So it's very clear cut. So today, if let's say touch wood again, if anything happens to the relationship and we split, we don't need lawyer. We don't need lawyer. We can just split very peacefully. So that's
I also don't have much joint assets. I also don't have any joint assets. For me, it's less of about splitting.
Yeah.
But it's more of about maximizing.
But maximizing means you should join.
Not really.
Because you have the power of two people, right?
No, like for example, a property, to take a loan, we wanna do joint name.
Oh, why?
Why you want to do joint name loan?
Joint name loan, you can get higher loan amount. You can buy a bigger house.
If you need a joint name loan to buy a bigger house, means you can't afford the house. Then don't buy.
No. So you have two people to...
You wasted one slot. So for us is you wasted one slot.
Okay. Okay.
So because of that, we don't do joint NAMES.
Okay. For us is if you can't afford the house, means you shouldn't buy the house. So don't even discuss.
Correct. So no point doing joint NAMES just to buy a house. That's correct. For us.
Correct.
Now some this may make some of you all feel like, hey, no, you're you saying about me. Mm. No, no, it's not about you. Everyone got different reason, you know. Yep. But for me, that's just how I look at it. Because everyone is entitled for first two house at 90% loan.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I join name, I only got two house. Yeah. But if, let's say we separate it, now we got four house. Yeah. So, yes. However, for us, it's not about that splitting part. So therefore, we still share resources. We know exactly how much to put together. We have those clear guidelines. And what happened is that we know that, like, for example, for her case, she is saving up for like more stable things. So in all the money stuff, right, there's the super low risk, which is emergency fund. There's the medium risk where it is like investment that are not super high risk.
Like unit trust, that kind of.
Yeah, unit trust, that kind of. Then there is the high risk stuff, like cryptocurrency. So I'm in charge of the high risk. She's in charge of the middle. Yeah. We are both in charge of the low risk together. Okay. So that's how it works.
Right.
So I always tell her this one thing. Okay. If we are going to live like a multi-millionaire, that one, yes, is my responsibility.
Okay.
But to make sure that we don't go hungry, that's your responsibility. Yeah, in future lah. That's how it works. So that is our way of tackling the money spectrum in terms of investment. Yeah, but I'm also curious, right? What are some of the topics that you think are important for couples to raise with each other?
I think among young people these days, right, they can even quarrel about who's going to pay the next electricity bill, who's going to pay the next telephone bill, that kind of stuff. But what do you think about it? Who should be responsible of paying all these utilities and all these necessities kind of expenses in a relationship?
I think it should be a joint decision. Like both persons should have a conversation. I've seen couples who get very angry because they don't have this conversation and one side is taken for granted to pay it. Now, when I say taken for granted, it doesn't mean that the person really takes you for granted. But what happens is that maybe usually, let's say me and my wife, I have been paying, but you never know how things change. So maybe I'm doing very well that time I pay, I got no problem. But suddenly when things are not very well, right, then I'm still paying, right? And then you start to feel a bit imbalanced. You get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Then... But you don't talk about it. That's where the problem arises. So I think it's very important that actually you have a conversation straight away.
That's true. Because emotional accumulates, and then that's one day you cannot tahan already, then you just burst everything. That's right.
But a lot of people won't have this conversation because it's very paiseh. Like, hey, why are you so calculative? Talk to me about phone bill.
Yeah, lo. 100 over bucks or so, you want to talk to me.
Is the especially in the early days of your relationship, or either early days of the marriage. Do you have that?
No. I didn't have that.
Didn't have that, huh?
Yeah. In fact, after we got married, in terms of the phone, I was like, since we are one family already, and you got your phone, I got my phone, previously it's separate one, let's put your line as my subline. Then we all just go into one bill. Easier. Yeah.
You know who pay for the bill?
I pay for the bill.
So, I think here is where, usually if there is one side who has this idea that I should take charge of things, there is slightly less quarrels, per se. Because there's some sort of agreement, alignment that you are the provider of the house. I think you and me are quite same traditional. Regardless of how much my wife earns, I'm the provider of my house. Because I'm the man.
Okay. That is one thing. The other thing that why I propose that and then her phone line become my subline is because if she pay her own contract, it's going to be more expensive. Become my subline is cheaper. So as a household finance budgeting,
it's also better.
Obviously, you should That's come right. under me to be my subline.
That's right. Yeah. And you don't think that, hey, after come, should I collect back money from you?
No. Because right? it's the family pool already.
See? Yeah. Because you have this idea that what's mine is yours.
Correct.
So some people don't have that. That's the problem.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And definitely it's very paiseh to talk about. But I think, right, it's very important to just talk about it. The key is how you're going to talk about it. Actually, in fact, I wrote a newsletter about this on how to talk about money with your wife.
Wife.
Because recently I celebrated my 7-year anniversary. Mm. Yeah. So they say 7 years is.
So you talk about money on your 7th anniversary. That's why it gives you the inspiration to write about
no, this letter. Because I was thinking about what topic to write about, right? Mm. Then I just celebrated my 7-year anniversary. Mm. Then I thought to myself, you know what? Let's talk about money in marriage.
Mm.
Yeah. And also because I posted up a story to ask people about questions. And then a lot of people ask me questions about how do I handle finances with my wife.
Mm.
That's a big part of those questions that came in. I'm trying to convince my wife to do a session with me.
Oh, yeah. Can. I will excuse myself.
But she is quite reluctant still. But she said she'll do some Instagram reel with me to answer those questions. Oh,
interesting. Looking forward to that.
So I'm trying to get her in to talk about all these.
You announced here already then. That's
right. So I think this is the next part, right, that I want to mention is that if you want to talk about money with your partner, I think the first thing is, you must let go of your ego lah.
Mm.
Yeah, let go of your ego. Yeah. Don't think about it so much. Yeah. And number two, right, you must always remember this one thing. Right?
Mm.
Like me and my wife, right, when we had a conversation on money, I still remember, before she said anything, I already feel like I'm not good enough. So therefore, whatever reaction she give me, right, I will have this feeling that you're looking down on me.
Mm.
Especially because that time things were tough, ma. Right? But you have to remember, sometimes people give you that face is not because they are looking down on you, but rather it is you yourself feeling inferior.
Mm.
So you must be upfront about seeking for affirmation. Like, go to your partner and tell her, okay, I'm going to tell you something very serious right now. And this topic is something that I'm struggling with.
Mm.
And I'm feeling terrible about it. So
when you say that, she won't freak out, man. Huh? What are you going to talk about with me?
Definitely they will. Damn. Yeah. So you say, when I tell you this, then you must tell them all.
Yeah.
The reaction that I look for you is what?
Mm.
Tell them upfront. The kind of reaction that I want from you is A, B, C, D, E.
Mm.
This is the reaction that will piss me off.
Mm.
Like that. Yeah. So you must actually have that. There's no shame in putting it up front because it gives people a clearer idea.
Mm.
Why is it important? Is because so that if the person really still do certain things, then you know that the person really...
Mm.
Then the person, if let's say like that, then they tell you, then they may answer, oh yeah, because I forgot. I really too shocked. Okay, still understandable.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So be upfront about it. I think this is one of the key important things to tell people. When I tell you about my financial problem, what kind of response I look from you, what kind of response I don't look for you.
Mm.
And it's okay to have no answer today.
Right.
Yeah. Just say, I just want to tell you this. At the end, I just want to hear you tell me that I'll support you. Yeah. Yes, you got no answer, then just tell me that. That will make me feel better. Like that.
Yeah. So, when we got into marriage, we did have this kind of money talk, but there was a little bit of episode in my marriage is when we started to have kids. We didn't have money conversation about kids. So in my opinion, we did went into some episodes. Why leh? Now, I came from a family where wasn't from very good background, and then we had to take other people's clothes, you know, take other people's old stuff to grow out with it. And then because of that, family managed to save a lot of money. So the impression that I have about bringing up a kid is also the same. And also because babies, they grow very quickly, right? You buy one shirt, 2 weeks cannot wear it because they grow up so fast. So no point to have too many new stuff. You can go and ask around and say, hey, you got baby, grow up already, right? Why not you give it to me, then I can use it, then move on like that. But then my wife had a different expectation. She said, it's my first baby. It's my baby.
Oh.
It's my love, right? So I need to give all the best to this baby. So everything must be new. Then I was like, oh, daddy. I want to be efficient. She wants more of everything for the baby. So that was the little episode that we had. We had quarrel quite a bit on it, but eventually we come to
the middle ground.
Yeah.
So this is the good part.
Mm.
I had that conversation with my wife before the baby came.
So that is the thing I didn't do.
Yeah. So what happened is that because when you have it right after that, you're not giving them the time to adjust. By the time the second baby, kind of like both.
Yeah.
Okay, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. Like, it's the first baby.
Because first is always more emotional. Yeah. So I remember the time me and my wife, we at the start, we already talked about it like, hey, actually, our baby grew up very fast. And it's very nice if I can buy them that Adidas shoe because it looks so cool, right? But I think it's not a very smart idea, right? Mm-hmm. Then she's thinking, yeah, it looks good on them. But then, actually, logically, you think about it, not very smart.
Mm.
Then, I'll buy stroller. No baby coming, Should we buy stroller? Then check. Wow, 1,000 over ringgit. Then I ask her, how long do you think we are going to use this stroller for? Then she look at it. I see a lot of people end up there. Also, they end up carrying the baby because the baby don't want to sit stroller, right?
Mm.
Maybe you should just get second hand. Yeah, because more realistic, right? Then she like, true. But can use her or not? We go and check and see. Then end of the day, everything second hand.
Good lah. Yeah.
Everything second hand. Yeah. But I think for my case also, it was when our first kid came, things were very poor lah.
Mm.
Yeah. So the time things were so bad that she gave birth in a it's not so bad. It's just that for our own expectation, she had no option but to go to a government hospital for birth giving.
Mm.
Right? There are a lot of rich people who go to government hospital giving birth. There's a difference between a choice versus you can't afford private,
right.
Therefore going there. Right. So that was my case.
Right.
So and so therefore I guess using used clothes was kind of like a granted thing.
Mm.
But we didn't felt it's like making it bad for a kid. Because after
there's a Chinese saying also you shouldn't give kids all the new stuff because apparently you will spoil them.
Oh really? But I just feel like it's a waste of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Because usually about like half a year and then they cannot wear it.
That's
3 months
they
cannot wear it.
That's why.
Yeah. So it's like, the hand-me-down all them new one, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, stroller. Stroller I also bought used.
Oh.
Which now
stroller
is sitting there.
One. Stroller I had new one.
Now my stroller is sitting there. I still remember I bought an expensive stroller, but used.
Mm.
700 ringgit.
Eh, okay well.
But it's 3,000 ringgit.
Yeah, for normal price. Yeah,
because the fella who sold to me told me this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been in my closet for 5 years.
Mm.
I buy it here. We all use for 3 months. Then my baby refused to sit on the stroller whenever we go out. So it's been inside there for 5 years. Now only I sell.
Wow.
So you want 700 ringgit? Mm. I still remember. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Then I went back to tell my wife. Then I was like, everything buy second hand.
True.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I think this is a very interesting topic in a sense. Maybe before going to a Q&A session, right? Is there any last things that you want to tell the people? Like in terms of before they have a conversation with their spouse, maybe you should invite a lady next time, because it's so men perspective, right?
True.
Yeah. But is there anything else that you want to share with people before they...
Yes.
Go and talk to their spouse.
You need to be emotionally prepared. Then your skin must be thick a bit. Because if not, it's very hard to start the conversation. You notice you cannot find the word to start.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah. Like what is the first thing to say to start the conversation? I cannot just say, hey, how much you earn? Cannot like that, ma. It's a bit rude also, ma, right? So how do you galentong, and then, my last paycheck, like that. So you need to prepare emotionally a strategy and then face stick a bit.
Oh.
Then only you start.
That's true. Yeah. This is a part of you that I don't really see. Because usually you just say whatever. With your wife, you really take care of her.
Correct. You cannot just go somewhere, hey, how much you earn? Because sometimes people find it offensive. Right? How can you ask me how much I earn, right?
Even
correct,
partners.
Correct.
Yeah. Unless you're married so long, right? Mm. Like, hey, how much you have in the bank account?
Mm.
Yeah, that's what we'll have the car conversation about. But I guess for me, it's still the last thing. If you ever plan to talk to your partner about money, I think the first thing is you yourself need to know why you want to have this conversation first.
Mm.
Yeah. Is it just for fun? Is it to ask for help? Is it simply because you have a plan for the future?
Mm.
Because I think there's no point of someone being so honest with you and have such a difficult conversation unless they see the benefit of that conversation.
Mm.
Right? Like, for example, when I was, I think the hardest thing was to talk about debt during that time because there was credit card debt. Then we had to pay off some of this debt. She had to come out and work. If let's say we want to be able to sustain the family, and if I'm going to continue doing Mr. Money TV, which is not going to pay me at the point. Mm. Yeah. So all these are part and parcel of the equation. The idea that we sat down and we talked about all this, right, was very simple. If you're going to cut down all this, right, love, I tell you one thing.
Mm.
One day, this is the life that we're going to have.
Mm.
But now, oh.
Now, oh, it's like this.
Yeah. Now, oh, it's like this. Then the conversation is easier. So when she have that conversation with you, it's not, you are just going there and, I got all these problems, can you solve for me?
Mm.
No, it is, I want to be able to do this one day, but now I'm in this situation. From here to get to here, these are the steps to get there.
Mm.
And I propose these things, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So definitely this is after a lot of the early days of emotional first and so on. Sometimes this may be the starter for you, some may not be. But I have to just say this one thing, there's no formula. Everyone have a different way of having a conversation with their partner about money.
Correct.
But ultimately, these are the points that remains the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is no ego,
yep.
Prepare emotionally, take the time, and I would say that have a clear objective of how that conversation, what's the end picture of this conversation.
Yes, yes. Now, and I think the point to make here is that to talk money with your partner is not something that you can like, okay, I'm going to set a meeting with you tomorrow, 3 o'clock, we sit down on the table, we talk about money. It's not like that. Because ultimately, this is a relationship between you and your partner. It's going to be an ongoing conversation until you own.
Hey, but there are couples who does that.
Who does that,
I was just having a conversation meeting with someone. They said that if they're going to have this kind of conversation, they'll sit in the... they'll say, okay.
Actually,
and they even set a Google calendar for it.
Actually good also, because it is an objective topic to talk about.
So I guess in that way, depend on individual again, right? I guess by doing that, maybe it takes away the emotions.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know, but I guess everyone got their own way in that sense. But yes, remember, ultimately it's not a business relationship.
Mm.
Yeah, it is a relationship.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's a lot more emotions involved and... you likely won't be doing a prenup. Yeah. So let's go into a time of Q&A. I believe there are some questions here. Maybe we'll just answer a few before we call it a night.
Sure.
Okay, let's pick out some interesting ones. All right. Your experience on KL20. Do you want to talk about that?
Okay, so there's a main hall that has a lot of all these high-tech startups there, right? Some of them are really, really impressive. But then it is good to showcase all their products, but whether how are they going to, how to say, to commercialize it, that part wasn't really there to demonstrate to the public during that day. We also sit in a venture capital round table discussion. That one was interesting, right? We talk about why why the US space is more vibrant, how come Southeast Asia punya capital is so much lesser, do we have not enough talents in this region, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there were some good discussions over there, and we also met a lot of people. Some of them also watch our channel, so thank you very much to them.
Yeah. We met the guy from what's his name again? The fellow from Dana Impact, the
Azlan or something.
Yeah. I didn't get his number. Did you get his number that day?
I think I have.
He's a very nice fella. Very nice fella. There were quite a lot of people. We met Bilian, you know, some of our old very, very long time subscribers.
Correct.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I think another thing that that at KL20 is that I think I talked a little bit about it in AWOK episode that's coming out or already came out. Already came out yesterday. Yeah, I talked a little bit about it. I can't give a summary about the closed door event. So if you guys want to find out more, go and check out Are We OK? Yeah, the episode that was posted yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, there's one question here. How do you deal with your partner when your investment is going down, especially when it's both your money? Drop 10%, sure, shower phase one. How? Already shower phase, not sure.
Oh yes, this is a hard. This is a hard.
Do you have a...
Yeah, of course.
How does it work for you and your...
What to do? You need to head down a bit, right? Because you lost her money, man. And then it comes with consequences also.
Do you invest for your wife?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I did. And lost money.
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah, okay. Fair enough. I mean, investments got go up, got go down, right? But because you're down already, going forward, this is what's going to happen. Number one, you will not get money from me for investment anymore. Number two, don't ask me to invest because you are high risk. Therefore, I need to be low risk so that we can survive. Number three, don't ask me for money. something along that line.
Right.
Then what can I say, right?
That's a smart move.
Okay, lor. But then, now very good, right? Making money. Oh, see, making money, you should invest. Very reluctant, but slowly opening up.
Right.
But I don't expect her to be like, oh, okay.
But you got to tell her not. You got to tell her not. Probably next time it's going to happen again because market always go up and down.
She knows lah. So right now her investment is also very safe one.
Right.
Yeah.
So actually generally it's just that she's not a high risk investor.
Correct.
So she prefer to have it never go down and always go up, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So for me, myself, I don't really have to deal with this problem because my wife's case is okay. She's quite happy-go-lucky. I'm very, very blessed with that, right? As long as you put food on the table, the rest, I trust you. If you say that it takes 2 years before it goes up or 3 years before it goes up, okay. And even if it doesn't, just make sure there's food on the table.
Mm.
Yeah, that's my wife. So I'm a very blessed person in that sense.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but if let's say you're dealing with the issue, my suggestion is this. Project a scenario.
Mm.
Tell the person, today I take your money. Because I can give advice on this in terms of how to deal with it is because I deal with clients.
Yeah.
I used to deal with, I sell unit trusts and all this kind of stuff, right? Mm. Before they put in the money, tell them first, are you sure if this dropped by 20%, you can stomach it?
Mm.
You won't scold me. You won't get angry.
Yeah.
If you can't, don't put with me.
Mm.
Now, if you are the kind that like, sure won't, that's why you convince them to put, that one is your problem. You choose to take the risk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how serious is my wife not trusting my investment advice to a certain extent. So you know how we handpick our offers on M Plus Global Punya offer, right? So the first one was Palantir, right? Mm. So Palantir from like $8 went up to $20, right?
Mm.
And then now our offer is 5 free Grab shares. Share price also went up by 10% already. So those offers are our discussion with M Plus and then we handpick together with them.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, fine. You don't want to put money? Don't worry. You put in 2,000 ringgit, you get free Palantir share, free. After you get the free money, right, you can just take it out. No, I don't trust you. Right? What if the free share also go down to zero? Then I got nothing. Then I'm like, okay, fine. Then cannot do, right? Then when it went out to $20, I said, I see you don't listen. Give you free share also, you don't want. Second time, free Grab share. Five. I said, this is your second chance. Go and open an account. Until today, still haven't opened.
Bro, I think your problem is your wife don't trust you, bro.
Yeah, she doesn't. She really doesn't after that incident. She's like, shit, man, you lose my money. I'm not going to give you money anymore. But it's free, right?
I wonder what your wife watching this video right now. I think today you're going to make sure to die. No, nah. But you think about it on the back side, right?
Right.
It's because she's like that, right? That's why, despite the fact that being an entrepreneur right now, your family is still extremely stable. Right?
Yes, give it to her.
You see, like, compared to me when I started this thing and everything all.
Yes.
And even until today, I don't dare to have higher commitment because you never know, right?
Mm.
But for you, you can renovate your house, you know, stuff like that. If it wasn't for her, this kind of style,
that's true. That's
you wouldn't
true.
Have any of those.
That's true. Thank you so much.
No, nonetheless, there's still other question. Let's answer another one or two more. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm. Okay. There's some question about, I think it's better that we answer this, right? Is it a good idea to withdraw to invest in stocks? Will Bursa drop cause EPF selling to raise capital for withdrawal? Will ringgit drop cause people withdraw to invest in US stocks? I think this is a very interesting and good question. Now, the first answer, should you withdraw from EPF to invest in stock? What do you think?
If you think you are better than the world's sixth largest pension fund, yes, you can do it. But if you don't think you can be better, you can have better performance than the world's sixth largest pension fund, then better let the professional to do it for you.
My personal thought is, if your EPF is overflowing with money, do you know one thing? If you're more than a million ringgit inside your EPF, you can withdraw the excess anytime. So if you're more than a million, do as you wish. If you think that you can do better than the sixth pension fund.
Correct. Because the point here is, are you able to make better return than the 5-6% that EPF has been giving consistently every year?
That's right.
So that is the challenge, you know. Sounds easy, 5-6%, but you try to do it every year and see, it's quite difficult. Man.
If you don't even have enough to withdraw to invest, that's why you want to withdraw from it to invest. My answer is, I don't think it's a very smart move. Yeah, so that's what I think. Now, will Bursa drop because EPF is selling to raise money to withdraw? Okay, do remember one thing. Okay? Look at the way that they put it. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so also.
I don't think so.
Because the amount is too small.
Correct. It's the amount is too small.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number two, right, you see, from the moment the flexible account is implemented, your persaraan contribution go from 70% to 75%.
That means technically they have more secured funds.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have more secured fund than you're going to withdraw already.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. That's my personal thought. Is there anything else that you want to answer?
Nothing much over here.
Okay. Yes. So I think that's all about it for today's episode. Let's call it a night. Thank you very much for joining us, tuning in. For those of you who missed this episode, if you would like to listen to the full one, go and check out our podcast on The Real Money Show on Spotify.
And also Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Yes. We'll see you next week. If you enjoyed this episode, do give it a like, a thumbs up, or share it with your friends and send us some feedback. Let us know if you enjoyed this kind of more relational or more less numbers-driven, more casual kind of conversation.
Yes. See you guys again next week. Good night.
Good night.